But let's dive into the book of Ezekiel today. The last predominant vision that Ezekiel has from God about moving the people of Israel, you know what, out of their rebellion back into being restored and being who he has designed them to be. God's word is a book of hope. It's a book of hope from the beginning to the end. It's a story about God. It's a story about what God is doing in the world from beginning to end. If you want to know what God is doing, where God is, if you'll just read his word and begin to see who your creator is, he'll begin to shine light of hope into your heart. Because, see, the Bible says we are people who walk by faith, not by sight. And so what does that mean to you as a human being? We're born in this generation. There's been multitudes of generations before us. But God has always been a God about reclamation. In other words, he's reclaiming what rightly belongs to him, and he is reclaiming it and making it better than it originally was. The Bible says when God created the first man and the first woman and placed them in the Garden of Eden, the wheels came off. They disobeyed God. They stepped away from God, and sin entered this world. In other words, they rebelled against God's great plan. The Bible says they are excommunicated from the Garden of Eden, and God begins to basically share his story in Genesis chapter 3 that he is going to be a God of reclamation. In other words, he's going to reclaim what rightfully belongs to him, all creation. And then if you begin to read the Bible just to help you out, God doesn't just say, I'm gonna reclaim what belongs to me, but I'm going to reclaim it in such a way that it begins to show my love, my power, my majesty to not only human beings. We tend to only think from earthly points of view, but he says, I'm gonna show the magnitude of who I am to the powers and principalities in the heavenly places. In other words, what I'm getting ready to do in my reclamation process is to show who I really am. And so God has been reclaiming what is rightfully belonging to him, and we live in this reclamation story, come on somebody. And if you read the book of Revelation, it begins to give us a snapshot or a picture, and this is where real hope comes from, of what that true reclamation looks like in the end. And if you can put your faith in this all-powerful God and his work in this world today, and begin to understand that no matter what you come against, what comes against you, you have this hope, you have this vision, you have this faith that God is going to do what he says he's gonna do, and he's gonna make all things new. Come on, somebody. And it's gonna be amazing. And the book of Ezekiel is a story about God stepping in and showing his majesty. The first vision that Ezekiel got of God was how awesome he is, how powerful he is. And then the book goes a lot into how the Israelite people rebelled against God. However, God steps in, and in Ezekiel 37 that we looked at last week, God begins to breathe new life into Israel. He makes dry bones come alive. He revives the bones. But not only does God revive the bones, now we're going to look at a story where God says, I'm not only going to revive the bones, I'm going to flow in the bones and I'm going to flow through the bones as I'm beginning to reclaim what belongs to me. And this is a story about Israel and what God's doing, but it's a story to us right here, right now, about how God wants to use you and God wants to use me in this reclamation story, because God is into restoring everything. He first restored Israel, then he restored what we refer to as the Gentiles. That would be most of us in this room. He restores us back into his family. And the Bible says God is restoring all the nations of the earth. And as he's restoring all the nations of the earth, he's eventually going to restore all creation. And that's a magnificent thing to begin to get in your heart and understand that all the things that are going wrong, all the broken things, all the sin that has entered this world that causes calamity, those things are going to be snuffed out. And man, we're living on a journey with a God that's showing off his majesty and his power, and it's amazing, and he's flowing in us. Come on, somebody. And he's flowing through us into the earth. But so many people just going through life, looking at this week, this month, what happened last week, what's happening next year, and they're missing what God wants to do in them and through them. Amen. And my hope is you'll get a passion, no matter how old you are, how young you are, you'll get a passion to live for God on a daily basis. And you'll begin to get a passion to understand how the Spirit is at work in you, and he wants to work through you to do amazing things in this earth. My friends, we are part of the greatest story ever known to humanity. God is doing amazing, amazing things. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 12, it gives us a snapshot of a river flowing out of the temple, the rebuilt temple, a restored temple. And it gives us a vision of a river flowing out. And as that river flows out, it begins to grow, and it begins to become greater. And as it becomes greater, it begins to bring life and healing to whatever it touches. Now, whenever we read the Bible and we begin to understand who we really are, it changes how we look at that story in Ezekiel 47. And I want to show you who you are today if you have believed in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you what you belong to so that you can begin to get a passion to let God flow in you and flow through you and bring life to the community around you. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. It says, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. In other words, there's many of us in this place today, in this world today, that believes that Christ has come and he has paid the price for sin on a cross. He showed the love of God on a cross. We've been forgiven of our sin. We put our faith, our trust, our belief in his finished work on that cross. And because of what he's done for us, and because he's resurrected from the grave, we believe that we're gonna resurrect with him. Okay? But because of what Christ Jesus has done for us, now we can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit. And he goes on to write here, the writer here is writing the church at Ephesus. He says, so now you Gentiles, you people who aren't Jews, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with God's holy people, set apart people. That would have been Israel. He says, you are members of God's family. You're a part of God, the Creator's family. And together, everybody say together. Together. One of the most beautiful things you can ever understand is you're created to live this life of faith alongside of other people. Because it's not just an individual faith that we have in God, though we all have to have individual faith in God. It's about what God is doing through his people in this earth. This is what begins to give you purpose. Together we are his house, and we're built on the foundations of the apostles, the ones that were sent, and the prophets, the spokespeople who spoke about God. And the cornerstone, it says, the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. He's the one that we build on, and he's the one that we align with. He goes on to say here in the New Testament, we are carefully joined together in him becoming a holy temple, a set apart temple, a set apart place, a set apart people where the presence of God resides. We're a holy temple for the Lord. So here the New Testament gives a picture of a new temple, and it's God's people coming together. And as God's people become together, we're the set apart place for a holy God. We're set apart for God to work in and work through. And through him, he goes on to say, you Gentiles are also being made a part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. So the writer here in Ephesians is trying to get the picture across to Gentile believers, those who aren't Jewish. Now, because of what Christ has done, you've been made a part of God's family, and not only a part of God's family, but a part of God's purpose in this earth. And you need to understand what God is doing in this earth is he is reclaiming all that belongs to him, and he has reclaimed Israel. He is now reclaiming the other nations to the world, and as he's reclaiming people back to him, what God is also going to do is reclaim all creation, and as people put their faith in him, we become that temple that God is working through, that vessel that God is working through, that God lives in and God works through. You got to understand the Holy Spirit of the living God lives in you, lives in me, lives in us as believers joined together. And he is at work in this world flowing. It starts as a trickle, but it becomes a great river that begins to bring life to whatever it touches. But what happens is so many of us don't understand how God's working. We don't understand we house the living God. And the power of God is in us. And not only in us, he's in us to work through us and begin to change and bring restoration to the world around us. And again, it's not just physical things. Physical things are gonna happen. No. This is about bringing things, making them right with God so that they can be a part of his eternal plan and do amazing things in the world. So here's what the Bible talks about. It talks about us being full of the Holy Spirit. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. And as we, as the family of God, are filled with the Holy Spirit, as the church are filled with the Holy Spirit, then that means there's a reservoir of God that begins to flow out of us into the world around us. And so as more and more believers come together, the stream gets larger and larger and larger and begins to bring greater life to the community it is. In other words, the church is to be progressing forward, not shrinking back. In other words, we're to be growing. And so today I want to talk about how the Spirit and what the Spirit of God does as he flows in us as the church and flows through us. Because the Spirit of God is flowing in his people. He is working in his people. Look what it says here in Ezekiel 47, verses 1, 3, and 6. It says it this way. The writer here says, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream, he's seeing a new temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple. Measuring as he went, this guy showing me this vision, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, and then he led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet, and he led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. And then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. And he asked Ezekiel, the one showing him this vision, he says, have you been watching, son of man? Have you been paying attention to what's happening here? Because there's a stream that started as a trickle out of this temple, and as it begins to flow, it's beginning to get deeper and deeper and deeper and more and more and more powerful, and it's doing amazing, amazing things. Now, I want to put something together for you today. And the book of Acts, this is exactly what we see beginning to happen with the church. The book of Acts is about the early church, the early church journey. And what we see is we see a temple out of Jerusalem. We see a people. It's called the church. And we see them begin to flow with the Spirit of God in them. And as the church begins to flow with the Spirit of God in them, the church begins to grow and the church begins to spread numerically from place to place and begins to do amazing, amazing things. But the book of Acts can all be summed up from an ascended Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verses 8. As Jesus was ascending, this is what he says. It captures the whole book. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "You will receive power, church people, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so what Jesus tells these early church people is that they're going to receive power, and that power is going to come from the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit breathes life into them, what they're going to begin to do, they're going to start small, start as a trickle, but they're going to leave Jerusalem, go to Samaria, go to Judea, and eventually flow to the ends of the earth. It's a picture of God at work in his people and through his people by the power of the Holy Spirit being a witness to his goodness and his amazing power and who he is and what Jesus has provided for humanity. Understand this. It's really, really important because God is fulfilling what he told Ezekiel to see. God says, "I'm going to flow in a people. They're going to begin to bring revival to other people. They're going to revive other people. And as those people are revived, then I'm going to begin to put them together and I'm going to begin to restore things around them, restore a creation, and I'm going to begin to do amazing things." That's what we're a part of. The church isn't to be dead, it's to be completely alive in Christ Jesus. And I'm not just talking about cheering and hollering, but we need to have the Spirit of the living God inside of us, living with that gift of the Spirit in us, putting it together with other believers and permeating this earth with God's amazing goodness. There's a biblical word for it. It's called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is we're in co-mission. We're on a mission together, us and God, all the churches around the world and God. And we're trying to get people to understand the goodness of God through Christ Jesus and what people's purpose is as we share this good news around the world with all people everywhere in every generation. And as people begin to have the light bulbs set off in their heart and the Spirit moves in and makes them alive in Christ Jesus, God begins to illuminate to them that you got great purpose and you got a mind and you got a hope. You got a hope beyond your problem. You got a hope beyond your week. You got a hope beyond death. You got a hope beyond sickness. You got a hope beyond pain. And you can wake up not without pain, but you can wake up with joy. His mercies are new every morning. And you got to understand that there is a God that is working in you, and he is working through you, and he is bringing hope to other people. It's your purpose. It's why you're here. And again, you know, I spent probably 34 years of my life not really understanding this. And again, I'm still learning about it. But when God got my attention and says, I want all people everywhere in all nations to understand this good news and come alive in Christ Jesus, I began to understand I got a purpose. And that purpose is a lot bigger than me. That purpose is grand. And I just get to be a part of it. And I get to step in and I get to start sharing it. But we have to understand a church flowing with the Spirit of the living God is a growing church. It's a church that's growing exponentially. It's a church that's beginning to reach people that are on the outside and bring them on the inside and let the living God breathe hope into them, breathe purpose into them. Don't sit in a seat and just attend all your life, because God didn't call you to be just a person that attends and hears about him. God calls you to be a participant. And again, I'm not just asking you to participate to help us get something done, though it does help us get something done. I'm asking you to participate because it's your design. It's your purpose. I believe with all my heart God created you for this. I believe with all of my heart that, you know what, you're not living life on purpose if you are not connected to the local church, doing in the church what God has designed you to do, which is to breathe life into the community. And again, I don't always get charged up by God's people, but the reality of it is I recognize that it takes all of us working together to carry this hope and to the world. And I believe this is a message for today, that God is basically, he starts through small groups. We call them church plants or whatever. Yeah, it starts as a trickle. It's to spread out. It's to disperse itself. But it's also to become a magnitude of hope in a community, and more just begins to flow out of the local church. This is why I'm so excited about the physical location across the waterway. I believe it's going to be a city on a hill, a light to the nations, a light to this community first. See, I want you to see what I see. I don't just see us being a group of people that move from here to there. And though we won't move over there instantly in this fantastic building with all the bells and whistles and all that kind of stuff, we're going to move over there and we're going to be together and we're going to be like a family. And it's going to be a place that life is flourishing. People are being filled with the Spirit of the living God. They're going to be finding their purpose and they're going to just be humming in there like a bunch of bees. They're going to flow out with God in the world. My friend, if you don't see this, you don't want to be a part of it. Because the reality of it is, you got to see God wants to use you. God wants to use us. God wants to do amazing, amazing things in this world. And I believe we were created for such a time as this. I believe that we are here on purpose and by purpose, and we are to grow the local church and expand God's Spirit in the community he has planted us in. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. The Spirit of the living God is for all people who would believe in the name of Jesus. So the church is to grow. The second thing I wrote down about this is the church flowing with the Spirit is to bring life to the community. And I'm not just talking physical life. I'm talking life where people can have hope beyond physical life. Look what he says here in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. I'll read through it again very quickly. But measuring, he went down. He took some different distances. At one time, the string was to his ankle, then it was to his knees, and then it was to his waist. And eventually, it was too big to walk across, but it was big enough to swim in. He says, have you been watching, son of man? And then he led me back along the riverbank. And when I returned, he says, there in verse 7, he says, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, the river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The water of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things. Wherever the water of the river flows, fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. The water represents the Spirit of the living God. And wherever the Spirit of the living God is, another writer says that wherever the Spirit is, there is freedom. But the reality of it is things begin to flourish as the Spirit of God works in us and works through us. We are the temple. It's imagery. It's imagery writers are writing to help you understand who you are. We are the temple. The Spirit of God is like water. He flows in us. He's freshness. He flows in us, and he wants to flow through us into the community and bring life. Ezekiel was seeing the realization of Jesus' words found in John 7. This is what he's seeing in this imagery. Look what the words of Jesus was in John 7, verses 37 through 39. It says, on the last day, at the climax of the festival, that was the festival there in Jerusalem, Jesus stood up and he shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone who believes in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory, is what the Bible says. So what Ezekiel is doing is getting a snapshot of Jesus coming to this earth, paying the penalty of sin on a cross, resurrecting from a grave, and then sending the life-giving Spirit of God into the church, into his people, that would become like living water, and it would flow, it would get deeper and deeper and deeper, and it would begin to bring life to whatever it touches. Amen. And Jesus says, you know what? Anyone who comes to him and believes in him will have this Spirit flowing in him, and it will flow from his heart, and it will begin to do amazing, amazing things in his heart and in his life. So the Spirit of God, he, the third person in the Trinity, is transforming us into the likeness of Christ as we come together and we begin to flow in the community. But the question is, why isn't more things coming to life around us? And I started thinking about this week. And I said, maybe it's because some of us are just ankle deep. Maybe some of us need to wade a little further in and get knee deep. Maybe some of us are waist deep. But the Bible says that eventually what happens is Spirit begins to flood so much of the surrounding areas, it becomes deep enough that he can't walk across it, but he has to swim in it. And so I just want to ask you today, are you all in? Are you ankle deep? Are you swimming? Are you swimming in the goodness of God? Are you swimming in the love of God? Are you swimming in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because if you're just ankle deep, God's saying, go a little deeper. Let's go a little more. Let's get to the waist. Let's get to the chest. Let's get to the neck. Let's get to where you depend on me and me alone. Trust me. Trust that I'm working in you and I want to work through you. See, part of our challenge is too many of us are hanging on to life that we produce instead of the life that God can produce. And let me tell you, right now God's calling some of us to go deeper with him. And that doesn't mean, you know, you just remember more Bible verses and you just do other things. But that means you begin to understand that God has created you for great purpose and he wants to do amazing things in and through you. Ezekiel's getting a picture for Israel, but God's giving a picture for the church. He's saying, I'm gonna raise up a church that will grow. It will go forward, it will grow. People are gonna go deep with me. I'm gonna give them the life-giving Spirit and it's gonna begin to bring life to things around it. My friend, the church that is flowing with the Spirit is a church that grows, and it's a church that brings life to the community. There should never be an empty seat. I don't care how many services we do. We should be filling up the seats. Because the reality is this. If you and I are working together, and we're not just hoarding the goodness of God, and we're beginning to shine that light out to those around us, what happens is people begin to want to get a taste of that goodness, a taste of that light, and they're going to come feel, they're going to say, get out of the chair because I ain't got room. I got to get up here to Jesus and where he is. Come on. I think the local church, they should be hanging from the rafters. And again, people say, man, why you want things so big? Because God is a big God, and God cares about the next person just like he cares about you. Amen. And God wants to work in us, and God wants to work through us. God don't want to leave nobody behind. God wants to reach everybody. God wants to do amazing things. I'm not going to say that everybody's going to respond, but you got to be crazy. You got to believe God is big. You got to believe that he wants more. You got to believe that he wants his family large. You got to believe he wants to depopulate hell and he wants to repopulate heaven. Come on, somebody. Man, I could create so many messages out of this, but I just want you to really get hold of what this vision is all about. It's about the Spirit of the living God flowing in his people and flowing through his people to change the world around it. And my friend, the church flowing with the Spirit needs to feed and heal the things around it. I want to show it to you. It's found in this same passage, Ezekiel 47, verse 12. It says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. Amen. Ezekiel saw trees that never withered and never stopped producing fruit. The fruit of these trees feed people and their leaves bring healing to them. It's actually the opposite of what happened when Adam and Eve ate from the tree in the Garden of Eden. And mankind was thrust into spiritual famine and suffering. My friends, why do I say that? Because God is reversing the curse of sin. We're part of this story. We're in the church age. We're in the time period where God is bringing in the Gentile nations together with his family, Israel, and he's becoming a one people. He's becoming a people that has the Spirit of God living in us and flowing through us, beginning to touch lives around us. Don't become stagnant. Don't become stagnant. Let God flow. Let him work. The enemy wants to stagnate your mind. He wants to stagnate your prayer. He wants you to see all the craziness in the world and think that that's it. My friend, the enemy is at work. He's trying to stop God's plan. But I need to tell you right now that God is restoring hope. He is restoring all things. He is making all things new. He is bringing new spirits and new life. And he's going to give you new bodies. Don't you miss this picture. The enemy's trying to suck hope out of you. He's trying to make you focus on what is here and what is now. And I'm not saying that's not real, but God is bigger than here and now, and he is a God that is basically bringing the goodness of himself into people, into this world. And he says in the word that he's going to restore all creation. It's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And again, I don't know what your, you know, end times view of life is all about. You know, whether you're a premillennial, you believe in a rapture, you believe in a post, whatever it is, amillennial. But to me, I mean, there's people in all kinds of camps. But the reality of it is this, I don't know what it's all gonna look like, but I know what the Word of God says. And my Bible says he's gonna make all things new. And he's gonna do what he says he's gonna do. And I'm gonna believe it looks a lot better than it does now. And I believe there's gonna be hope. And I believe that Jesus came to show and start that journey. And I believe that Jesus is here for you today to put your faith in so you can grab hold of this little bit of this hope and you can come alive in Christ Jesus and you can begin to come who God has created you to be. I don't care if you got a week, you got 6 months, you got 12 years, you got 50 years. I'm telling you right now, God will make you alive in Christ Jesus today. Get the picture. I want to show you what the last chapter of the Bible says. It says it this way in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. It says, John says, an angel showed me the river of the water of life, brightest crystal flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. My friend, that's a snapshot of where we're gonna be in eternity. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more tears. There's no more hate. There's no more evil. There is a reigning and ruling God that is reestablishing who he is. He purges out all evil, and those who have believed are part of his family, and we have everlasting eternal life. Why would you live hopeless and let the enemy take your joy that's found in Jesus? Don't live hopeless another day. Put your faith in Jesus and begin to watch him revitalize your soul. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you, God, for the pictures you give us in Scripture. I thank you for not only being a God who meets us in our rebellion, but it's a God who revitalizes us, a God who restores us, and a God who makes us a part of his reclamation as he reclaims what rightly belongs to him. God, if there is one today that has been deceived by the enemy and they don't know that Jesus, you came for them to be restored in this relationship, God, I pray today they would put their faith in Jesus. Maybe today is the first time that the cross and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus has come alive to you. My friend, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, then you will be saved in that moment. I invite you today to believe that in your heart. I invite you today to trust God. I believe that the Spirit of the living God is at work in his people and working through his people, and he's right here in this room. I believe he's tapping some of you on the shoulder and saying, today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day when I'm gonna give you hope beyond your life. My friend, if you need to do that today, right where you sit, the greatest decision you ever make is say, God, I'm tired of doing it my way. And I admit that I'm a sinner. God, I turn from that sin today and I trust the work of Christ on a cross. And today I believe that he came to save me. I believe today that he resurrected 3 days later from a grave so that I could be filled with your power and hope beyond this life. My friend, if you believe that in your heart, tell God, thank you for that gift today, that gift of Jesus, that gift of grace. And tell God today, you put your faith in that. And then just go ahead and commit to God. You're gonna walk with him from this day forward. No matter if it's good, no matter if it's bad, you're gonna trust Christ. And my friend, begin to watch what God can do. If you said that prayer today and you're in this room, I wanna say welcome to the family. And man, we're so excited about what God's gonna do in you and through us together as we begin to touch the world with this good news of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. amen.